Jane, do you want to come and join us up front? And the way this is going to work is I'm going to interview these guys. Two of them are going to talk about experiences over the last year, 2016 in particular, where hopefully they can encourage you. And also I thought it'd be good to hear from Owen, who's going to Moldova, and we can think about stuff that's going to be, we're expecting God to be doing. But can I just share from a semi-personal perspective, actually, 2016, one of the big challenges was setting up a youth group on a Friday night, which was designed to have kind of half non-Christian and half Christian young people kind of attend it. And when we did the very first one, we had 4 kids turn up, and it was about a year ago, and I was a little bit deflated. And then after that, we had none the second week. And actually, I was like, oh dear, am I in the wrong job? You know, I was a little nervous. But actually, just last week, we had a few more kids sign up, and we now have 40 young people on the books for that. So I just want to encourage you guys that actually your prayers are felt, and actually God is doing stuff with the young people in Woodley. So thank you guys for supporting us in what we're doing. Anyway, Jane, I'm going to ask you questions first, if that's all right. So just 2 questions. Do you want to tell everyone a couple of the groups that you go to, and how do they help you in your journey with Jesus?
So I go to WAVE, which is the Christian group, on a Wednesday, and I go to Pulse, which is the one Sam just talked about, on a Friday. And I think at WAVE, like, it helps me in my faith because I become like a lot more confident in like speaking to my friends about how I feel about God. And like I've helped like a couple of my non-Christian friends come along to these 2 groups as well, so that's really nice to see.
Fantastic. And Abby, I'm going to ask you about one of the camps that we go to called Soul Survivor. We went and took about 12 young people to Soul Survivor in August last year, and it was an amazing time, great fun. But can you tell us a little bit about what Soul Survivor is, what it's like, and how that helps you in your journey with Jesus as well?
Well, Soul Survivor was like a massive, massive camp with lots and lots of Christians there. And it's probably one of the first times I've really seen the Holy Spirit work moving people. And like seeing loads of Christians in one big place in this massive tent all worshipping God was like one of the best things that I've seen in my life so far. And it was just like such an amazing experience, and it like really helped boost my faith in God and like not forget that I'm like not the only one, because sometimes it's difficult when you go through like your daily life and going to school and all, seeing all your other friends who are non-Christian. It can be quite difficult to like keep your faith up in God. And just like every time I think about Soul Survivor and I remember the things that I saw, it really helps boost my faith.
Fantastic. And finally, we're just going to finish with Owen and think about stuff that's actually going to be coming up in later on this year, 2017. We're in that already. But a couple of quick questions about Moldova, kind of why are you going, what are you excited about, and what are you nervous about?
The reason why I'm going is because I want to help people who don't get as much as we do, and so they can all share what we get from Sam and from other leaders, so they can understand what we get from God. Some things I'm nervous about.
Beaches.
Nothing. Toilets.
Staying clean.
Fantastic. And what are you excited about?
I'm definitely excited about being able to go on a raft, go to random villages that just see what they're like.
It's always quite interesting to see what the young people are nervous about. So I think I'm scared of a lot more than they are, apparently. But guys, we do really value all your prayers and support and time and effort with the young people. And as you can see, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what actually goes on through a normal youth work week, okay? But thank you guys so much for standing with us, praying for us, and hopefully this has encouraged you guys a little bit. Cheers.
Share our testimonies with Pathfinder.
Oh, right.
So I was
they even remember.
That's even brilliant. So at the beginning I said to the guys, ask me anything. Because I thought, if you're gonna do it, you might as well, be honest with everything. So they did. Quite pertinent, sometimes shocking, serious questions, which really showed their heart after God. Kind of more than anything else, and it was a real privilege to be able to share my story with them, and to sort of see the reflection of a heart after God in their questions, because often it's the questions that kind of reveal the most, I think.
Brilliant.
So it was brilliant. So I totally recommend it if you have the opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Pam told me a bit about that session too, and it really touched on some very deep things, didn't it? And you know, thank you for being honest. And it's just amazing what young people will ask. Brilliant. Thank you. Sue. Yeah, that clap. Thank you. Sue.
Thank you. I'd like to just share a little bit about CAFE. I think a lot of you know that I get very excited about CAFE. And just the way that the Lord is working. Over the last year, our customer numbers have increased quite a bit, to the point some weeks we have people waiting for a spare table. We've put up extra tables, but that doesn't always work either. And the aim of CAFE and Sandwich Bar before had always been to provide a church-based meeting place for all the members of the community, not just church members. And it's great that more than 50% of the people who come quite regularly and really enjoy coming are not members of the church congregation. So that is really great. We feel that we are achieving what the aim was. And we seek each week to give a very warm welcome to people. Superb service and fabulous food. It has to be said, occasionally we don't get it just quite right, but then we're only human, aren't we? But I think one of the things that we find, and certainly I find quite difficult, is when we are busy, is getting that right balance between taking people's orders, talking to our customers, and delivering the orders. And in the kitchen, it can sometimes feel like a production line. And then when we run out of food and have to run over to the shop to get more, you think, what are we doing? So it's really great when we get comments back from people. And I suppose some people who come week after week, that's enough to say that we're getting something right. Or when a new customer said to me the other day, it's lovely here, thought that's fine. But I think the most emotional moment for me in the past few weeks has been when one customer who not a part of the church family said, you really show the love of God by the way you serve. And that just spoke to me that whatever we're doing in the busyness, that God is here in it with us. And it wasn't said to me personally, but it was said to CAFE. And so, you know, I just thank the Lord that he's there and enabling us in that ministry and service.
Thank you. That's part of our purpose, isn't it? It's not just the stuff that we do for ourselves. It's the stuff that we're doing for our community. One of the questions that we asked at our PCC morning last year was, what would the community miss if we weren't here anymore? And, you know, that's quite a searching question. And CAFE is obviously one of the things they'd miss. Diana. And Michael, if you want to be ready, yep.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about being in a small group. Now, that's very topical at the moment because obviously most of the Lent groups have now started. I've been in Roger and Rachel home group for some years now. Well, on and off, that is. That may sound a bit odd. But sometimes circumstances changed and it's difficult to cope with an evening meeting during the week. This was particularly so when I was working in London and needed to be out of the house at 7 a.m. the following morning. When I retired, I just asked if I could rejoin them after being away for nearly 2 years. I just slotted back in and carried on where I left off. Our group is quite a mixed one. Some have children at primary school, some at secondary school, some with family at university, some have grandchildren. Some work full-time, some part-time, some work shifts, some are still studying with a change of career, and some are retired. We have all had times when we needed to drop out for a spell, but the good thing is those who are missing are not forgotten. In our time of prayer at the end of the evening, we usually pray for those who can't be present. There have been times of change during the time I've been part of the group, never more so than during the last 6 months when we moved to meeting at Mike and Jackieton's house. Rachel's grandparenting duties take her away from Woodley for a few days most weeks, so it made sense to ease the burden on her. Mike and Jackie have made everyone extremely welcome, and we haven't lost anyone in the move. This term, we have been taking turns to lead a session, something I don't find very easy, even though I try hard to be prepared. I got stuck on something in my session, and I was very grateful when Mike helped me out. We are all at different stages in our Christian journey, so we can learn from and be encouraged by each other. When you are accepted for who you are and where you are at, you are more able to be open and share with the group. I mentioned before that we end with a time of prayer. For me, this has been an opportunity to get better at praying aloud. I know I don't always get it right, but I am sure the Lord knows what I'm talking about. As Nick said last week, you don't know what you can do until you try. Sometimes we get it wrong, but we can learn by our mistakes. It is only when we accept change and confront our fears that we can grow. I just want to add that we've had some fun sessions too, like the pudding party, when we enjoyed an evening eating as many puddings as we liked, interspersed by a general knowledge quiz that did include some biblical questions. I'd like to encourage you that are starting in a new small group. I'm sure God will teach you something through it.
Thank you, Diana. Can I just say that group currently is full. So those of you who fancy an evening of eating unending puddings will have to join the queue behind me. Michael.
God's brilliant creation of the church is one of his many wonderful ideas. The St. James family gives us all friendship, support, and opportunities for activities, work, and play. The church is a fantastic cure for loneliness and boredom. It gives us a purpose in life. It's so good, in fact, that it gives us a big responsibility to share with others our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, of course, our head, and through whom we come to know God himself as our Heavenly Father. Talking of cures, may I share how God has healed me of two bad illnesses. Over the years, I have suffered from quite severe migraine and very bad low backache. God has cured me through the church's prayer ministry and through the NHS. I have learned to use both and not either or. God cured me through my Christian friends' prayers and through doctors, medicines and physios, etc. I'm quite sure God wants us to use both prayers and medicine. So I thank you, all my dear Christian family, brothers and sisters, for all your love and prayers. May I quote Psalm 68, verse 4 and 6. Sing to God, praise his name, extol him who rides in the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families.
Nicola.
Morning. I'm afraid what I have to say is also a little bit about small groups. Not just here at St James, though. I'm now able to attend the Mary and Martha group that meets once a month on a Saturday morning, thanks to a change in Abby's dance class timetable. It's always a struggle. And it's been great to get to know some of the ladies in the group that I don't otherwise perhaps speak to on a Sunday morning. But as some of you may know, I'm also a... So that's Mary and Martha, obviously. But as some of you may know, I'm also a part of another group of Christian mums, and our connection is through the children's schools. We're linked directly to St Nick's in Early, but our membership is from four different churches. We call ourselves Mums and More. Bit of an M&M connection going on there, I think. Our group has recently had to split because we were getting a bit big into two smaller groups, so one of them needed a new leader. After a lot of prayer and soul-searching and discussion with Emma, the group leader, I felt I was being called to lead this second group. This is not something I would have felt particularly comfortable doing within the St James family, and this is going to sound really daft, mainly because I still think of myself as Nicola, the small girl that has been coming to St James since I was... two-ish? Oh, OK, well, before I was born. Sorry, I got that bit wrong. And some of you have even been my Sunday school teachers. You know who you are. Not sure I've ever really grown up. And standing up here definitely is out of my comfort zone. But anyway, four sessions into our new group, and I would never have considered myself capable of leading a small Bible study. We're four sessions in, and it's going really well, and I've had some positive feedback from my friends, which is really encouraging. One thing that happened this week, we were struggling with something, and one of my friends said, well, we can always look it up on Google. So two ladies Googled this particular expression, I can't remember what it was, and they both went to the same link. It pulled up the same link. So we've now called Google on a Wednesday afternoon Godgle. Anyway, I'm looking forward to obviously continuing this journey and sharing our experiences with these other mums. But on another note, as mums, we obviously talk about our children quite a lot, particularly how to nurture their own individual faith journeys. I'm stunned at my two that have been up here this morning. As a parent of the oldest children within our group, they seem to look to me for the answers, especially as I share with them what our three are doing here within St James. Not sure I have the answers except to say that I love watching how they are growing, as we've seen, and especially the little one at the minute. Watch him one day before the teenage inhibitions take over and he starts like this. I'd like to thank the leaders who have helped nurture their journey and give them the opportunities that they've had at St James. So like Puppets, Messy Church, Owen's done a bit of band, Abby's done some dancing, Soul Survivor, and of course the forthcoming trip to Moldova. So I just want to thank God for the blessings that are our children in Abby, Owen and Adam, and the rest of the small people here at St James, even if you count yourselves as one of those.
I'm amazed that Nicola said to me earlier in the week that she was really nervous about the idea of standing at the front, because I think she's natural at talking to people. So well done, and thank you for what you've shared. Margaret.
I tried to write some notes, and it ended up like an essay, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Because what I want to celebrate and tell you that I'm really excited about are the people in this church. The people in this church who volunteer. Since I've been church warden, I've had need to ask a lot of you, and you are amazing in the way you respond. But it's not just what you do when I ask you. It's what you do throughout the year in this church. There are so many things that happen here that would only happen because people give of themselves, give of their time and their energy and their skills. And some of you may not even realize what an asset you are, but you are. And without you, this church would not be what it is. Without you, all this would be is a building with a couple of people in it. But because you are the generous, giving, serving, obedient people of God, the church itself benefits. We all benefit from what you give us. But the community benefits as well. And it goes on and on like ripples on a pool. And this morning, I was awake very early and I heard the dawn chorus. And it started off with a couple of sounds. And over the hour that I was listening to it, it built up and built up to this incredible crescendo of beautiful music. And that's what you are. You are a crescendo of beautiful music to God. And I think you're amazing. And I think you deserve a round of applause just for you.
And I'm handing over now to Rachel Bin, who's a super mum. In terms of, you know, the number of children getting married in a short space of time. Would you like a chair?
Yes, please.
Or a stiff drink?
Yes, that would be fine. Okay. Well, even after 18 years of teaching, I still don't like standing up in front of people. Anyway, I'm just going to share a couple of pieces of encouragement that have been on my mind in recent weeks. Firstly, I want to talk about the importance of welcoming people and seeing it from a different perspective, perhaps. After 35 years, can you believe it, of being here at St. James with Roger and our family, I've always known people, I've always had friends, I've walked in, there's always been somebody I know. In the autumn, I started looking after our little granddaughter and taking her to a toddler group at a big old Methodist church in Banbury. They've got plenty of space, I can assure you. I was then in the position of not knowing anybody. I walked in on the first morning with my big grandma L plates on, and it meant so much to walk into a building and be welcomed. And more important, to be remembered when we went back the next week and the week after that. So can I encourage you, Sue at Cafe, Linda at Toddlers, and everyone else who runs groups here, keep up the welcome, because when you don't know anybody, it means so much, and I've seen it from the other side. And I also want to celebrate a commitment to prayer. 30 years ago, I met my friend Ella at South Lake Nursery School, and I got to know her because she drove around in a little Ford Escort, and she had a sticker on the back that said, "Thank God for Jesus." And I thought, I think she might be a Christian. You wouldn't generally put that in your car if you weren't. And I said to her on about the third day of seeing this little car, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes." Our girls became close friends, and the boys grew up together as well. And some years ago, Ella and I committed to praying for each other's children as they left home. And as we, as mothers, let them go, which isn't always easy. And that commitment to prayer has been so important for both of us through many ups and downs of family life. And not least recently, as some of you will know through the prayer chain, in the celebration that Ella and Richard's little grandson, Harrison, was taken home last week after 10 anxious weeks in hospital in Chicago, in the Prem baby unit. Ella and Richard are eternally grateful to all in Woodley, they go to Woodley Baptist Church, who've prayed for that little boy. But for me, that commitment with Ella to prayer for our children has been so important. Perhaps you could commit to prayer with someone at the same stage of life as you. Maybe it's bringing up young children, worrying about, caring for elderly parents, dealing with teenagers, facing retirement, or other significant things in your life. To have one person, whoever that may be, that understands what you're going through at any one time, and to pray with them and for them has been, for me, incredibly important. And I really thank God that Ella had that sticker that told me she was a Christian, because that was where it all began.
Now, the two who've got the easiest job are Pete and Chris, because they've sort of got each other, but you're going to come separately, are you? Right. Chris.
So it was a year ago that I stood here and shared how God had guided us to St James and how thankful we were for that. So it's really good to have the opportunity to look back. And I want to share a couple of ways in which God has been leading me, teaching me over the year. Now, when we moved to our new house, we didn't have any curtains or curtain poles because the previous owners had taken them away with them. And sorting that out takes quite a long time. So what we did, as we managed to unpack each box, we flattened it down, and then when evening came, we put these boxes on all the windowsills so we could have some privacy. We actually got a bit used to it in the end, which fortunately is still not the situation. And a little bit later, we were here in church one Sunday morning, and Nick shared one of the hunches that sometimes are given to folk who pray before the service. And I can't remember the exact words, but it was something like this. It said, "This is for somebody who is surrounded by boxes. God wants you to do something new, not what you were doing previously." And actually, I didn't want to hear that. At that time, we were hoping to continue with our work with international students. We got lots of contacts and experience and resources. And hearing that, I felt really unsure. I thought, maybe it's for somebody else, and I can't get this wrong. And I also thought they were probably thinking of small boxes. So anyway, I didn't go for prayer. I left it. But it didn't go away. I did think about it and pray about it. And as time went on, it became clear that there were new things for us to do. We later met up with some folk that were doing work with international students here in Reading, and we were really clear we shouldn't join with them. Out of this, and other things too, came a clear understanding that everything, absolutely everything, is for a season. I think I was singing "To Everything There Is a Season" before I ever read it in Ecclesiastes. But it is true. And over the year, it's the truth that has become more and more clear to Pete and myself. It's good to know that nothing goes on forever except our constant, faithful and loving God. At the beginning of the year, I really missed our Coventry friends. So much so that sometimes I ached with a sense of loss. But as the year has gone on, we've understood that our friendships as they were then have changed, and we're in a new season. And we've really appreciated getting to know folk here at St James and beginning to form new precious friendships. I've also been thinking about that hunch. I don't know if I should share this, but last week we were watching Anton Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway. And as part of that, there's a great big hand that comes across the studio audience, and it moves around, and you want the hand to stop over you so you get a chance to enter a competition and win lots of prizes. And as the hand goes around, people wave and they jump up and down and they shout, and they really want the hand to stop over them. Well, I think most of us know that God speaks into our lives in different ways and through different means. So perhaps as we seek to hear God more, perhaps deep down, we could perhaps just be a bit more like the studio audience on the programme and a bit less like me on that Sunday morning. Thank you.
About 35 years ago, I was invited to and I attended a men's breakfast at the church where we'd begun to worship. It was a distressing experience. Put me off the idea to such an extent it had very lasting consequences. So I have to admit that it was with some apprehension that I decided, having come to St. James, that I needed to face my demons and give our men's breakfast a go. So, if you've never been, it's an event for men that happens here in the church lounge once a month on a Saturday morning, when anything from, I guess, about a dozen to 20 of us gather to enjoy very tasty bacon rolls and abundant cups of coffee. This supports a gently structured time when relaxed conversation about how the week has gone leads into a time of focus on either a biblical theme or an aspect of how faith impacts life and work. Some open discussion follows, and then there's a time to share concerns and needs and to pray for one another. What struck me about this is how straightforward it is, with just this simple format, for blokes to get together and explore in an easygoing but quite serious-minded way how their faith is working out in everyday life. And in a way, it's fairly countercultural in that traditionally us men tend to be thought of, in some circles at least, as being incapable of talking openly and seriously about our concerns and issues. However, as yesterday morning once again proved, our men's breakfast is, I think, something quite special, in that unlike many a men's breakfast, what happens here at St. James goes beyond enjoying nice food and listening to an entertaining and inspiring speaker. The simple expectation that God joins with us and that we seek his presence as we think, discuss, and pray means that this is an occasion for men to both explore and deepen their faith, as well as one where we can encourage and support one another. And I believe that this aspect of our church life and ministry has real potential for growth and development. And I'd really encourage you guys to come along, especially if you've not yet been. Whilst we can rejoice in the way that God has blessed us thus far, I suspect that he may have significant plans for what is yet to come. And I don't just mean that one day we might progress to serving a full English.
Porridge and tea are also available. I hope it's obvious why I picked that reading for today. It's about the body, and that we are all different parts of it. And we've heard from a lot of different people today about different aspects of church life. Without CAFE, we'd be less rich than we are. Without our youth work, our children's work, although you can appreciate it's much harder to get the smaller ones to be able to say something about what's meaningful for them. And putting Celebration Sunday on the second Sunday when Linda is up to her ears with messy church. It wasn't something I expected us to be able to put together. But all of these things go together. And I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking, I don't fit in this bit, or I don't fit in that bit. But hopefully there is a bit that you do fit. And that's important, and it's important to find it. I was at a talk this week where someone was speaking about calling, vocation. And in the church, I think we've often made the mistake of hearing that and thinking it's to do with vicars. Vicars have a calling that they explore and they talk to other people and they go off on selection conferences and so on. But everyone is called to something. You can be called to be a teacher, to work for HMRC, to help with our young people or our cafe or to lead a small group. And the calling may come for a while, for a season, and then we set that down and something else is our next calling. But please, let's not fall into the trap of thinking that calling is for some and not for all, because we all have a part to play. I remember someone telling me once about their family, that the nose, his nose was running and his feet smelt. Whereas for most people, our noses smell and our feet run. But we are different parts. We need the ears. We need the noses. We need the feet. We need the fingers. We need each other. One of the things that sort of crept out of this week for me was a particular crossword clue. Four letters, heaven on earth. My interest is piqued when I'm doing a crossword when there's something sort of, you know, Christian or religious in there, because, you know, I instantly think I should know this. You know, I'm trained, my calling. So heaven on earth, four letters. Eden was the answer. Eden. And that got me thinking. And Margaret completed that thinking for me this morning. Margaret, in our time of prayer before the service, produced a beautiful drawing that she had done of a garden with a gate. The gate doesn't have a latch, it can open towards you or away from you. And as you go into the garden, a walled garden with a big high wrought iron gate, there were lots of wonderful vegetables growing, you know, lots of exotic things. When I was a kid, exotic was, you know, mange tout. You know, these days we have, you know, aubergine and kumquat and kohlrabi and all sorts of things. But, you know, when I was a kid, we had turnips and swede and cabbage and stuff. But and cabbage, you had to cook for at least 45 minutes to try and get all the colour out of it and all the smell into the house. Some of you remember it well. In Margaret's picture, there was a narrow path leading on into the centre of the garden. And if you made it along this narrow path, you reached the centre of the garden. And there, like Psalm 23, was a table spread with wonderful delights. And I think that's the journey's end. And I think the journey's start was Eden. And I think our journey through life really is a journey that takes us from Eden to that table spread in the center of the heavenly garden. And doing this journey between the two gardens, and you'll find actually that Genesis starts with the garden and it, Revelation ends with the new heaven and earth, which is the new garden. We go through a journey between the two places, and life really is all about how you live the journey. And I think what I would want to say is that we've heard this morning how we should do this journey well. We need to do it in the company of other people. We need to do it in the context of church. And that church doesn't matter what the building's like, whether it's got a low ceiling and dark bricks like ours, or it's a big Methodist church that Rachel went to for that grands and toddlers. It's the people. that we journey with. And it's how we do that journey. So I think the message that comes out of what I've heard this morning and all the different things we do is that as we go through life with other people, doing these different things, whatever it might be, you haven't time to do all of them. Those of you who've been to university will have gone through a freshers' fair. You know, once you've understood what a fresher is, freshers' fair is where you find that you could join anything from the rugby club to ballroom dancing to the Christian Union to martial arts. And you pick up lots of information. You go to the first meeting of the Conservative Club because they serve lots of port. And the realization comes, you cannot do it all. And in church, you cannot do all of the activities that we do. You just physically couldn't be a part of all of them. But you need to find the thing where you fit. And that's important. The reason, partly why it's important to find the bit where you fit, is that I want to see this church grow significantly with more people. And in growing through the next size barrier, the biggest hurdle will be a sense of not knowing everyone. At the moment, we're probably about at the size where you can. And if we move with another 50 people, another 80 people, it will start to feel like you don't know everyone. And we just have to accept that that's the way it is. But particularly if we are nestled into our small group, our team that runs Rendezvous, or our worship band, or the men's breakfast, or M&Ms, that will give us a smaller group where we're known and we know others and we can support them. Because we'll grow into a place where on Sunday morning we won't know everyone. There'll be new people every week. You won't know who they are. As long as they're welcomed well, and we've heard that message this morning, it'll be fine. I've got two other things that I want to share this morning, which came, I have to say, the first is from Jackie Dunn. Now, you may not know who Jackie Dunn is. I married her daughter to somebody else. Jackie is the lady who comes to our services once a month. She normally goes to St. John's, but she brings the copies of The Door, which is the diocesan magazine, and she puts the old ones that no one has taken away, the leftovers, hopefully you do take most of them away, by The Door for recycling, and she brings the new ones, and she stays for the service. And when I put out my challenge last week, she emailed me in the afternoon, which I thought was pretty good going. You know, it took a week of thinking about it for St. James people to respond. But she came back that afternoon. And I just wanted to share these little thoughts that she said. Please use these next week if they're of any help. Nothing dramatic, just everyday life. But I think what's important for me is trying to be there for people and remembering to say thank you. And not just to waiting for emergency help. And these were things that prompted her during the week, and I thought they were really quite interesting. Praying in the queue at Sonning Bridge every morning. Don't know how many of you have that on your commute. She prays in the queue, thinking of the day ahead and the children needing support. She works with children. And I thought, isn't that a great message to use a traffic hold-up as an opportunity to pray. Shamed. So I'm going to try and use that from Jackie. Thanking God for the view and the sky if I'm at the front of the queue. Not the, if I hadn't let that car in from the side, I'd have got over that lot of lights. But thanking God at the front of the queue for the view and the sky. The opportunity to discuss belief with others. being a listening ear through the day for students and colleagues. My office was always a stopping place on the way home because I was head of year. On the way back home in the queue at Sonning, saying thank you for the events of the day, glorying in the beauties all around us. I just thought there were some lovely little touches of prayer moments embroidered into the day that Jackie thought might help us as we reflected on things. And then the other one that I wanted to share came in an email last night from Rachel. I hope we get through this, but this really moves me a lot. From Rosie. So it's a message for everyone at St. James from Rosamon, who's getting married next week. As many of you may know, I'm getting married next week and just wanted to send my thanks to you all, my very first and dearest church family. Over the last years, I have so often reflected on how privileged I have been to grow up in such a loving, supportive church, and now seems a good opportunity to tell you that. I know I didn't really appreciate it fully at the time. St. James is the kind of church where you're known and loved, and this has always been my experience, even since I moved away to Birmingham. And you probably really need it if you've moved away to Birmingham. I added that bit. It's quite rare, I think, to find a church like St. James, so welcoming, loving, and so rooted in its local community. I'm forever grateful for all the spiritual input over many years growing up, from creche all the way through to Friday Night Fish Club, and the many years in between where so many of you gave hours and hours of time to be part of youth work to help me and many others grow in faith. Thank you so much for your love, support, and prayers as Jim and I embark upon married life. We look forward to visiting very soon. With all my love, Rosie. It's all about love. It's all about love. God is love. Those who love experience something of God and inhabit that place where God's love is. That's what we need to share with our community. That's what we need to share with the world. It's a world bereft of love. And we've got loads of room and loads of love. And we can have more people. We've got enough love for them. Let's not be afraid to grow, that it might change us. I think it will enrich us. We've heard great things today about so many wonderful things. I'm very grateful for so many people and what they've shared. But we went, as I had my little moan last Sunday, from no people having volunteered anything to having almost a cast of thousands. But if I invited you to come out now, sort of peaked, as it were, because I know a lot of you will think, yeah, there is something that I could have said. We've given you a post-it, and you might like to use that post-it to jot something down that you feel you've benefited from, something perhaps particularly in the last year, something good that's happened, something that you might want to thank God for. So you might want to write on your post-it, and I think you were given one on your service sheet. So if you haven't got a pen, I've got lots. It would be great to have quite a few of these back, because I hadn't warned Becky to order any extras. So this might be her last box. But if you need pens, do take some.